Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you today, and I have a lot of respect and adoration to South Africa. There's been different people in my life that I've met from South Africa, even in Canada, that has had a very big impact on my life. So I really respect what I see here and with you guys, and having the relationship with the pastor, and it's a great honor today to be with you. So for myself, I'm from Canada, and I'm from the northern part of Canada, about 1,000 kilometers north of the U.S. border in the province of Alberta. I'm a farmer. My grandfather migrated from Sweden, so my roots are from there originally, but I don't even speak the language, and I've never been there. So if somebody told me to go home, I think my home would be Canada, even though I can trace my ancestry back. So some of you might relate to something like that. I grew up in the church, in a very conservative church that didn't understand or speak about the Holy Spirit. But my mom had an encounter as a girl. She knew there was a Holy Spirit. She married my dad, and she moved out into the area where we are. And it was a very conservative people. And so I kind of grew up there. And as I got a little bit older, I knew that God was real, but I really wished I didn't know him, because I envied my neighbors. I shared this yesterday. I envied my neighbors that never knew God, didn't follow God, but I knew he was too real, that I couldn't just simply walk away from God, but at the same time, he never felt real in my life. And I felt kind of trapped. And I realized that so often, we can be in church and we can be faithful and we can be trying to serve the Lord, and yet somehow we can feel trapped, that God just feels distant to us. And we know he's real. We know his reality is way too much in our bones to know he's real. But Lord, how are you going to speak to me? I want to see you the way I see you in the Bible. I want to know you the way I read in the Bible, that it's possible that we can know God. And God started taking me on a journey after a number of years. And I thank God that he never let me go and never let me escape. And it's been an amazing number of years. I really don't think I like to travel. I'm quite happy on my farm. I'm very happy I could stay there. I'm married and we have 4 children, and they're getting grown up now, and they help us on the farm as well. But over the last number of 13 years, I've been to India 10 times, and I've been into Zambia a number of times, in Malawi and Kenya and South Africa and a few places in the U.S., but not as much there. But I've realized that God wants to walk with us and empower us and to be people that can bring change beyond what I could have ever thought or imagined. I was a person growing up that could never speak in front of people. I was very intimidated. A little bit of humor in my younger classes in school. He's a good friend of mine now, but we used to fight sometimes. And he was much smaller than me. And more than one time, he punched me, and he ran off, and he got in trouble with the school. And I was the big one. I should have been beating on him, but yet he would beat on me sometimes. And just not knowing, not even realizing, hey, I'm bigger than you. I could beat you up if I wanted to. And sometimes we live life not realizing who we actually are and what we can do. And so I laugh about that now, but I also am so thankful for how God can change us and shift us. And as I said, South African people have had an impact in my life. I thank God that maybe he's using me as well to maybe speak into South Africa as well. Because sometimes there's seasons when we get spoken into by a group, and then we get the privilege of speaking back to those people. And together we can help each other keep growing and moving in the things of the Lord. So yesterday afternoon, I thanked those. I recognized a few of you that came, and we prayed for people. And is there anyone that, not even to give a testimony, but anyone that we prayed for yesterday afternoon, that today you know God has healed you? Is there anyone that says, man, I know my life. I know there's a healing. So you know it. You know it. Is there any? There's a couple of hands. I see another hand. Amazing. And I know that sometimes we even are a little bit shy or don't always know how to do it. So there's three hands right there that showed us that they know that something changed. And we thank God for that. So the very first time I was invited to go into Zambia to experience God and to go on a mission trip. And I shared to the Lord and I started speaking to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't want to encounter miracles in Zambia. And in Canada, I had a very funny idea of the jungles of Africa and maybe the missionary stories we would hear as kids. And I was certain that if you went into Zambia, that the people would come out with spears and they would stab you. And like I just had, you know, I'm not saying nothing has ever happened, but we have sometimes very funny ideas of what we hear. And sometimes we even hear it in the church and sometimes through missionaries. Even in India, there's a part of India I've gone to a number of times, and it's a Christian area, but 100 years back there used to be headhunters, and the different tribes would fight each other, and they would kill them, and they would take heads as trophies. But this all stopped 100 years ago. I have seen Christians in other parts of India, Indians, and they said, oh, do not ever go to Nagaland, that region of India, because those people, they will kill you. They will cut off your heads. And these are people within the same country, and both Christians talking about the stories that they heard many years ago, and those stories are still being told today. And so some of the Indians would be scared to go to that area based on stories they heard from a long time ago. And sometimes we get stories that maybe they were true at one point, but things have changed. Our life has changed. Even Canada, if you're praying, definitely pray for Canada. Our country is very confused. We have different challenges than you. I realize that, but our country is very confused, and especially among the young people, trying to bring such confusion to young people. It's very tragic. But I believe God has a solution, and I believe we in the church, we are the solutions to most of the issues. Governments get very confused, and government can do all kinds of crazy things, whether in Canada or places here. But ultimately, it's the church. I think we have to realize God has given us more authority and more ability to change the direction of a nation. And even as it was said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and my life has been impacted by one of your great men, Angus Buchan. And we got to meet him as a family once. And I have phoned him, and he told me to meet him with tea, so I'll see if it's possible next week. I want to go to his house. Even if he thinks he's too busy, I'm going to trouble him. But it's a great passage that he always spoke, and you would have heard him say, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that I will answer the prayer. And so I realize that when we see great challenges around us, many times it's because as a church, we have not understood the authority that God has given us in our land. And it's not about taking up arms and shooting and fighting most of the time. Most of the time it's an authority in the spirit realm that God wants us to realize He has given us. And I realize in Canada, that's something that I've been speaking to church groups about in Canada, that God has given us an authority. And yes, I believe in the political process a little bit, and I'll vote and things like that. But man, to bring change to a nation is going to come through people. And it's going to come through our lives. So, I want to share a passage with you, more than a passage, but I want to share a picture that I believe I've seen in the Bible that has changed so much for me and my understanding of our purpose, what God has called us to do and live like and to be like. And just before I go there, I'll just in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16, and it's about why we worship. It says, we'll just read that. 2 Corinthians 3:16 is when we behold Him, when we worship Him, when we look to the Lord, and we all with unveiled face, and we could speak about that. But when our vases, whenever we turn to the Lord, it says there's a veil or something that's been lifted off of us. Myself, I recognize I had a veil or a lifting off of myself. Even though I grew up in the church so long, I realized there was a point. God lifted a veil over my heart. And when we behold the glory of the Lord, when we look at Him and worship Him, and we look to His majesty and His wonder, and when we really give honor to the Lord, it says that He changes us. And He changes us into His image, and we change from one degree of the Lord to another, and the Lord who is Spirit. So I have a different translation that I think they're very similar, and they'll say the same things. So as we seek the Lord, and as we give our life to the Lord, and as we lay down our life before the Lord, His desire is to start taking our life and changing us. And sometimes myself, I was very scared of the changes that I knew God wanted to do in my life. Because I thought it was going to come about by my own abilities and my own efforts. And I seen how I was missing so many things, and I was inadequate in so many ways, and I was fearful of man. But the Lord wants to take those things away. And He wants to help and empower us and to lift us up and learn how to trust God in ways that we never even realized was possible with our life. So what I want to share is I want to jump into John chapter 7. And we'll kind of read a few passages. So Jesus, he comes to a great feast. And if you kind of read about this story, Jesus comes to this feast that the Israelites had. He came a little bit late. And everybody was kind of looking for Jesus when He would show up, because they didn't really understand who Jesus was, but everybody was talking about Jesus. So then it says, Jesus, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus all of a sudden came in, and he came in among the people, and He stood up, and He said out in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink." So this is very unusual wording that Jesus was telling them. Now in John chapter 4, and we won't turn there, but there's a story of the woman at the well. And if you know your Bible, and Jesus talked to this woman and said, "I will give you water that you will never thirst again." But this is in John chapter 4, it is talking about a well that it's a still water, and you drill down and you reach down with a rope, or some of you have wells, and you get water from a well. But Jesus here is talking about something different. "Whoever believes in Me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within them." And mine says flow from their innermost being. It'll flow out of their belly. It'll flow out from them. And then by this He meant the Spirit whom those who believed in Him were to later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So when you go back and you read in the Old Testament, and you read about Elijah, you read about Moses, you read about Abraham, you read about David. Now, yes, they were men of God, and God did give them the Spirit in a certain way. But somehow the Bible says that we have access to the things of the Holy Spirit that even the great prophets of the Old Testament didn't have. And sometimes we don't realize that. So God wants to give us access to something that even Elijah didn't have. And you ponder that. But then it says, in verse 38, it says, "As the Scriptures have said, out of His innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So we're talking about passages, and the Scriptures would be talking about Old Testament Scriptures. And Jesus said, "If you believe in Me, you will see rivers of living water flowing out of you." What a statement. What is He even talking about? And as I started looking at that, I want to go to a couple of passages in the Old Testament that talk about rivers. And then we're going to go to Ezekiel 47, but we'll wait there for a moment. So in Psalms 1, we'll read the first few verses. And maybe we'll just read it on here so we don't get confused. Now, listen to this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. So a blessed person isn't getting our advice, and we're not living by the unruly, ungodly people. We're getting our advice, and we're sitting among people and brothers that are following God and loving God. And so it's blessed is the person that isn't living their life based on wicked counsel. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I believe that in the New Testament, I believe that if our delight is in Jesus and looking at what Jesus is saying to us, I think that for me, when I read this, I would say, but my delight now needs to be in Jesus and the words that Jesus has told us. And then it says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. So there's a place that when we're trusting in God, and our hope is in the Lord, and our steadfastness is in the Lord, it says, whatever we do, it says, we will prosper. And so, yes, there's different kinds of prosperity gospels, and I'm not trying to open up a great debate about that. But all I know is that when our hope is in the Lord God, and our trust is in Him, and we walk not about the counsel of wicked and all kinds of unbelief, but our trust is in who God is. Man, He wants to bless and guide what we do. I believe He wants to bless this meeting. This is an aspect of blessing of the Lord, that there will be fruit that come from today as we gather together. And in Jeremiah, it says something very similar. We'll just read that one as well. Jeremiah 17. And it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Very much what Psalms was saying. He will be like a tree planted by waters that sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes. And its leaves are always green, and it has no worry in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. Now, if you read just the couple verses earlier, it actually says in verse 5 and 6, it says, we just read that, it's actually amazing. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man. So if our greatest trust is in man, not in God, but in man, and man systems, and in man ways, we are cursed, who depend on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. How much money we have, how many employees we have, how much strength we have in different ways, right? When our greatest dependence is on ourselves and our own capacity, we end up becoming a cursed person. And it says he will be like a brush in the wasteland, and he will not see prosperity when it comes, and he will dwell in parched places in the desert, a salt land where no one lives. So when we just trust in ourselves, we can even have a belief in God. You know, I think oftentimes I've seen Christians that kind of have a basic belief in God, but they're not really trusting God for their life. They want God for salvation. They know they are a Christian family. They're a part of a church, and maybe they've done the baptism, or they've done a few things, but just to kind of do what the church told you. But really, your trust is not in the church, and it's not in God, but it's in what your hands can accomplish. And sometimes we do that in life, because it feels like if God is distant to us, we start learning to trust ourselves. We believe in God in a way, but really, we say, but when something really happens, I'm going to figure it out myself. And we start trusting in ourselves. And yes, God asks us to do things. And yes, He's asked us to work and to be resourceful. I understand all those things. But our trust, though, when it is not in the Lord and it turns into ourselves, maybe our own community and our own safety systems, and our trust is in natural things and not in the Lord. It says we become like a shrub in the desert. I just think the stories that the Bible, the way the Bible words it, is so amazing to me. So he's saying, guys, if we want to go on in life, if we want to be successful, if we want to have a future, he really is saying, especially when we're in the church, it's even more important when we're in the church that we actually trust in God and not just kind of have God for Sunday service or just making sure that you're a part of a denomination that, you know, your name is written in the membership or something like that, but actually living a life of trusting in God, and you'll realize that it's a different life. There is many that attend church. There's many that have a name of Christianity, but God is calling us to actually trust Him, walk with Him, and our greatest strength is in the Lord and not in ourselves. And it's not that we can't have. I have a fairly large farm, and God has blessed us in many things. But my trust cannot just be in my farm. My trust has got to be in the Lord. And He likes to bless it, and He likes to work with us in it. But if my trust was just in my own possessions, in my own things, I wouldn't have time to come here. I would always be making sure I would be doing something on my own property and my own things. But when our trust is in God, it just shifts us. You'll find many times, even in church, people can be worried and anxious, and we kind of pray, and hopefully God will hear us this time, and we'll even pray sometimes, but out of a different kind of a relationship where God is distant, and God, why don't you ever hear me? And you just feel like we put God out here, and we don't really know how to trust Him. So I know that He's calling us as people, I think people around the world, to really learn to trust God. Even if in the outward appearance it doesn't always seem to help. Sometimes, yeah, we can have troubles and things can happen. In those verses we read, it says when the drought comes, which means trouble, difficulties come, that we can get through it. It says we will bear fruit even in the difficulty. Now, I want to be careful of your time. So in Ezekiel 47, some of you are aware of this passage, but the first verse, we want to look at it carefully as we go forward. Ezekiel 47, and I realize this is talking about something far different than I ever realized growing up. So the very first verse, and Ezekiel was kind of in a vision with God, and God was showing Ezekiel things and taking him around, and the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. Now in my Bible it says that he brought me back to the door of the temple. New King James says the door of the temple. Different one says door. This one says entrance of the temple. And I saw water was coming from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced the east, and water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. So there's a picture. Now, the doors in this place, you don't see water flowing. You know, normally you don't see like a trickle of water coming out from the door of the temple. So I think this is a very unique picture that Ezekiel got to see. So when I started looking at that, when he says he brought me back to the door of the temple, or the entrance, the door, the gateway into the temple, what did Jesus say when he was with his disciples? So in John chapter 10 verse 9, he said that I am the door. If we could jump just to see that. It says that in verse 7 and then in verse 10. And the whole, in John chapter 10, when you read it, it's talking about a shepherd and a sheepfold, and there's a door, and you bring in the sheep, and there's a doorway, and thieves and robbers come, live through a window or some other way, but the good shepherd comes in through the door. And Jesus said, I am the gate or the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. And in verse 7, it also says that he is the door. And so, when I'm reading this, the door to our life with God is through Jesus. Is that correct? And so, you know, we can have all kinds of religious activities towards God, but the door to entering into a life with God is the door of Jesus. Without Jesus, no man can be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when I read Ezekiel 47, this is NIV, and NIV is fine, but just, you know, everything has a little different wording. But he says, and he brought me back to the door, which I know the Old Testament is all talking and referring about Jesus coming forward. So the door of the temple has got to be talking to me, has got to be talking about Jesus. Would that be okay to say that? I don't want to twist the Bible, but I think it is so important to me to see that as we see that the door to this temple is through Jesus. Now, I also want to talk about the temple. You know, in Israel, it was very important, the big temple they would have, and King Solomon built the temple, and they've had the temples. But the real temple today, do we all need to go to Israel to a temple somewhere over there? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It could be nice to go on a tour to Israel, and I'm not against that, to see the history and everything that God has done there. But in 1 Corinthians, it says it in a couple of places. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? So we are the temple. Yes, this is a building and a gathering, and it's a type of temple. But as you read the Bible, it says we are the temple of God. And if you can see it repeated again in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, we just should jump onto it and see that. Because when we realize that we are the temple of the Lord, is it possible that Ezekiel 47 is talking about our life in the Lord? When we come to the Lord through the life of Jesus, we become the temple of the Lord. And then as we start to read a little bit in Ezekiel 47, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So I really believe Ezekiel 47, it starts to talk about a picture of our life with God. So as you start to read, Ezekiel is taken by the hand and they go for a walk. And they go in and they start to walk into the water that was coming out of the threshold of the temple. And at first they measured 1,000 cubits. And it says they went in and the water was to the ankle. So the water was just very shallow. And then they measured another 1,000 cubits. And as you read the scripture, it goes up to the knees. And they measured another 1,000 cubits. The water now, it says, went to the waist. And then it says it measured another 1,000. And they said the water has risen. So things are changing. At first, there was this much water trickling from under the threshold. But now the water has risen. It says the water is so deep you could not pass it. Now, in especially flood season, and if you have a river, you know, if you are in fast water, but it's only at your ankles, you can stand in the water and not have too much trouble. Even though it's moving fast, you can still stand in pretty fast moving water. But then as it gets to your knees in a river, it starts to push you around a little bit. When you get up to your waist into river water, and especially fast water, you may not be able to stand. It might get too difficult, depending on how fast and how much force, it becomes very difficult. But then all of a sudden it brought in over, the water was too deep, you couldn't even, it was over the head. And sometimes our life with the Lord and in the Holy Spirit, when we first taste the Holy Spirit a little bit in our life, it feels wonderful. It is just in our ankle, we can stand, We can still stand on natural things. God doesn't really even ask us to give up that much of ourself. And we can stand there and wow, it feels good. It feels refreshing. But then when the Lord takes us in a little bit deeper with Him, and the water starts to rise, all of a sudden, we start having a difficult time. When we want to keep our feet planted on natural things on the earth, and yet we want to be in God's Spirit, we want to follow God's ways, we want God's pattern for our life to flow with us, but yet we're still trying to keep our feet anchored on the ground, we start having problems. Do you understand? And then, I think it's wonderful how it says He brought him in to deeper water over the head. So once the water is that deep, you can no longer keep your feet planted on the ground. So now we have to fully trust in God. And all of a sudden we realize that God will carry us and hold us. And all of a sudden we're no longer fighting the current. And we're no longer fighting the natural problems we can have with natural things and God things. And all of a sudden we realize we can let go of our own personal desires, our own fight for ourselves. And we learn that we realize we can fully trust in God. I just sometimes think so often, we experience God a little bit, we experience His Spirit, we want to give our life to the Lord, we want to follow Him, but we start to feel the current pushing on our lives, and we start to struggle a little bit. It starts to bring challenges to people around us. Even sometimes other people in a church even, or in different groups that we're with, we realize that we start having problems with different ones, and it's difficult. But then when we just say, Lord, I need to trust You completely. Lord, I got to give up my life. It's not my life anymore. I'm going to surrender my life to You in wholeness. You might already be saved. You might already be born again, but still trying to hang on to natural carnal things. And I realized something. When I realized that God was asking me to really say yes to the Lord and give up my own will, I thought that He was going to ask me to give up my farm. But I realized He doesn't want me to sell my farm. It actually is one of my greatest blessings. So He may not be asking you to give up your business or your farm or something of great value to you. He might actually want to make that stronger and bigger to use you even more in that area. But I realized I had to be willing to give it to the Lord. If He wants me to sell it, then I will, Lord. But I realized that that's actually a tool that He's using in my life to help me. But I think we have to come to the place in our lives to be willing to give up those things that seem to be very important to us and say, Lord, I'll give this to You. And you might find that He doesn't actually want you to sell it or to give it away. But He just wants to know that you are willing to trust Him and you aren't going to hold on to our own possessions. Sometimes, though, we will hold on when God wants us to give it away. It's good for us to give it away. But when we hold on to those things, it ends up hurting us and we end up falling away from God. And we end up keeping God at a very, very much a distance. And we don't want to really go into trusting God with our life. Then we kind of get into that place where we want salvation. We want to know we're going to heaven, but on this earth, please, Lord, leave me alone. I want to do it my way. And that's a very, very sad place to live. But I realize that often we can get caught there in our life. Sometimes, many times in the church, we know God is real. We've been growing up with it. We know He's real. But somehow we've just never experienced His realness for ourselves. And I believe God wants to show Himself to be real to each and every one of us. I just believe it is so important. Now, if we could pick up in Ezekiel 47, and we'll jump to verse 8, maybe. And He said to me, this water flows toward eastern regions and goes down to Arabia and enters the sea. And when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. So remember, in the Jeremiah 17, it talks about the shrub and it'll be given to salt. It'll become salty. become worthless. It won't. And so this, it talks about this water flowing will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be many fish for this water goes there, that the water of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live wherever the river goes. If out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living waters in John chapter 7, if out of us flows rivers of living water, and then it says everywhere the river goes, everything will live where the river goes. What is it talking about? It's our life. Wherever we go, when we have entered the Lord through the door, through Jesus Christ, and we recognize we are the Lord's temple of the Lord. And it says, our life, wherever we go, everything will live because of us. Wow. God's plan on the earth is that for our lives to bring life to people around us. When we learn to trust God and to let go and say, Lord, nothing else is important is trusting you and letting you guide me and lead me and completely surrendering ourselves into that river, into that life of the Lord. Then, as Jesus said, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And all of a sudden in Ezekiel, it's talking about a river of living water. And it says everything will live wherever the river goes. That's for us. I believe that is the life of a person that really follows the Lord, that is really surrendered to the Lord. It doesn't mean there can't be challenges. It doesn't mean we can't have difficulties. Oh, we can have plenty sometimes. But despite the challenges and despite the difficulties and despite all those things, our life can be a person that can carry the life of God, His Spirit, and wherever we go, things happen. Life happens. People get healed. People experience God. People experience forgiveness. People see Jesus Christ modeled before them through your life. But then it says, when it's a very challenging verse in the middle of this, in verse 11. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. What is a swamp and a marsh? To me, you know, when you have the river and it's a high water and water overflows the bank and some water flows into a low spot, but the water doesn't run out. It kind of flows in, but it doesn't run out. And it becomes a swamp. Sometimes a swamp can get smelly and it can stink. I've realized that if we want the blessings of God, we want the Spirit of God on our life, but we are not willing to allow God's Spirit to flow out of us. We just want the good things of God for us, but a river is flowing and moving. And our life has to be moving. It has to allow God to touch us, and then we have to allow it to go out to touch others. But if we want to come in and we want God's blessing and His touch all the time for us, but we're not willing to allow others to know, man, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is everything for me. And if we are not willing to allow others to know us for the life of God in us, we end up becoming a swamp and a marsh, and we're given over to salt. And the Lord doesn't want any of us to be stuck in that place, because very quickly we turn very religious in that place. We get critical and judgmental. We find everything wrong, and we are dying inside. So the Lord wants to touch us, to fill us with His Spirit. And then He wants to use us to be His river wherever we live, in our business, in our workplace, in the environments that you're in, among different groups of people, different races. But somehow the river of God to touch people even that disagree with you. That despite the problem, we say, Lord, let your river, let your life flow out of me to touch others. Amen? Now, this river, in Revelations 22, at the very end of the Bible, it goes back to the river. And I'm not here to say I understand all of Revelations, but all I know is this is the same river I'm reading about in other places of the Bible. And the angel showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal. When we ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we are laying down our life to follow Him, I believe He cleanses us. And so despite some of the things that I've done in the past, and maybe even things that I've done more recently, He purifies me, and He allows His life to come out of me, and I can trust that His life is not dirty and tainted by my human things, and His life can come out of me pure as crystal. Pure, that God is pure, and He comes out of me in a pure way, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So when our life is in the throne of God and of the Lamb of God, and we've laid down our life for Him, the river coming out of us becomes clear as crystal. And down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. And we see in the trees in Jeremiah and Psalms, and there's these trees that are yielding fruit. And the trees are for the healing of the nations. So my one thought, if this only applied one day in the future, there will no longer be healing needed when God has come and completely resurrected and restored all things. So somehow this must apply to us today, that God wants to use our lives for the healing of the nations, the healing of the problems, the healing of the most difficulties. I know your nation can tell me about difficulties, but somehow, some way, I believe God wants to use His children of God, His followers, to find a way around the problems and to trust that they can bring healing to the problems. There's got to be a way God can use us to bring peace to chaos. Amen? I believe that so much, even in my nation in Canada, resides on what, as Christians, how we respond and how we learn to navigate. It doesn't mean everything will change immediately, but somehow the outcome will be dependent on if, as Christians in our nation, we will stand before the Lord and we will allow God's life to come out, even to those that are against us. And some people may have, you know, some people might get martyred and some things might happen and things could happen. But despite any of those things, that the life of God's still coming through. And if one person goes down and is taken out by the enemy, somebody else will stand and the life will continue to come out no matter what people do. And eventually the life of God will always win out over the enemy. God always is victorious over the enemy. And so, when I read this, I believe the Bible just puts pictures of this river through the Bible. In Genesis you can see about a river. All through the Bible. And so I believe our life, God has designed our life to look like a river that is moving. You know, not moving and bringing life to wherever we go. And I just think sometimes we see our own inadequacies, and you know, I could tell you all my reasons why I can't, but I had to start realizing all the reasons I can. And I've been in Malawi. We've seen some big crowds in Malawi. I've just about been in every corner of Malawi now the last few years. And I pray over the years that I've been in Kenya and I've been in Zambia. And I pray over the years that I get to other countries. And I don't know why I want to go to Congo, because I don't really want to. But over the years, as the Lord opens doors, I just pray that I will go there and let the river go. And I think in our own lives, God has called all of us to our own individual calling. There's people around us. There's family members. There's people that need the river of God. And some of us, maybe we are only walking in, maybe we haven't even asked God and experienced the river of God for our life. Some of us, maybe we're experiencing God's river a little bit, but we're very nervous and we're very scared to get too close to the Lord, and We don't want too much because that could cause us trouble. But really, I've found that that is the devil speaking to us, scaring us to go for more of the Lord and surrendering all of our life. Because I've realized the more I've surrendered to the Lord, I've realized the better my life has gotten. The more, the things that I was scared of actually became things now that I have great victory over. And so when there's a river that flows out of you and a river that flows out of you, and our rivers can look a little different, and you'll affect people, I won't, and we start having a river of God, God's life, God's hope, God's healing power, God's purposes, God's ways instead of man's ways, God's solutions instead of man's solutions, we start to realize that things start changing. You know, during the COVID era, and we all experienced things, for a while, I thought my neighbors were going to kill me, because we did a big event on our farm, and we were in the newspapers across Canada, and we got more hate emails than I've ever had before. And I really thought we were going to have somebody come in some night and try to take us out. Because as a farm, we don't have fences in our driveway. So they could drive right in, and I have no defense. You know, we're not protected like the farms here. And I really was scared for a while, to be honest. And some of those people that were so upset with us earlier, we've actually become their heroes now. Now, I'm not saying they've all accepted the Lord, but we've become their heroes in certain ways about COVID and seeing what really happened and all that stuff. So sometimes we can go through a period that can feel like there's a lot of opposition, and it can feel very scary. But man, just keep trusting God when it doesn't seem like there's a solution in the moment. And usually it doesn't take that long, and all of a sudden something changes and you realize, wow, God, you were using that for great things. Because we were even in the Toronto newspaper about the event we did, and so we were in the Vancouver, like we were all over Canada, our picture, and it was crazy. And they were all trying to attack us and the insults that we got. But I realized God was just doing something to actually help us and to grow us. And actually, I thank God for it now. So if you're going through a difficulty, you know, I think sometimes, and I know some of you have gone through very much difficulties, I understand that. But allow that to be used to build you and strengthen you, and to let the life of God, the forgiveness of God, the healing power of God to come through you and be the agents of change for your area. Amen? So, I really thank you guys for having me. Bless you. And I would love to be able to pray for more people. But you know, we really talked about the river, and I think it's so important sometimes to respond when you realize that God is speaking to you about having His river, which is representing the Holy Spirit. And I heard there's classes coming up about the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to wait for that, but I would also encourage you to attend. There is something so important. The Holy Spirit is what gives us power. We can't overcome these obstacles just by our own strength and our own might, because we are just doing it in our own strength, and we actually become a cursed person. We need the Holy Spirit and His power to help us to follow. The river, the water in the river to me seems like the Holy Spirit. I don't know. And it's the Holy Spirit. God uses us as vessels. But it's His Spirit that flows out of us. But as we allow Him, we allow a larger and larger flow of His Spirit to flow out of us. And just trying to be a good person and to be intelligent and to solve all the problems with our own strength, even if you have the right answer, the Holy Spirit, it will just open it up so others can hear it and see it. The Holy Spirit opens it up to actually bring change. Because otherwise, if it's just one good idea against another idea, nobody wants to admit that your idea was better than my idea. So then all of a sudden the fight happens. But man, the Holy Spirit can allow people to see this is what we need to do, and we can go forward in it. Amen? So if any of you maybe feel today that you need this river of God. Maybe you've never received that Holy Spirit, or you just, that life. And to be honest, maybe you've never even given your life to Jesus at all. You've kind of come to church enough and trying to be a good enough person because your family is Christian, and you know, you want to be Christian, but you never really realized God is just looking to take your life and to guide you. And so if I could kind of make a general call today, those of you that have never really given your life to the Lord, and maybe those of you that have never received or want to receive this river of life, you know, I would just invite you to stand, if that's okay. And especially when I speak in a church, I feel it's important. Yes, I understand salvation, and it's important to know what salvation is, to know that we are saved. But I found so often people have found out what it means to be saved, and they do not want to move beyond that. They say, no, I'm saved, I know I did this and this and this, I must be going to heaven, leave me alone. And I am so convinced the Lord doesn't want us just to keep ourselves at the very minimum that we might decide what it would take to go to heaven. The Lord wants us to give Him all of our life so that He can allow that river to flow out of our lives. So, yes, in places I like to make a salvation call very clear. But here in the church today, I don't feel, some of you maybe have never been saved. It's true. Maybe some of you have never been saved. Some of you have resisted the river of life. You resisted the Holy Spirit. You've tried to do it your way. You're just strong. You can do it. You're resourceful. Maybe today God is saying, no, I need to learn to try. I need to trust God. Or maybe you've realized you've had the Holy Spirit and you've had moments of the Holy Spirit, but man, you just want the Spirit of God to enlarge in your life. And you just want that river of life to come out of you and to touch people. So any of you, if you just feel that, and even if, I mean, if you want to, I just want to invite you to stand, and then I would like to just pray for you. And so, I'm sure that many of you will stand, or you might all stand, I don't know, so don't worry if you're the first one. And I think that when we do these kind of things, it does something in our hearts that we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand. I am going to be one that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. And I need that river of life to flow out of my life. And so Lord, as we are just together here this morning, as each person is thinking about this message, and Lord, I pray that you would help each person that desires to stand, Lord, each person that you are calling to stand today, to be able to stand, and that you would give them a strength. You would give them something fresh by your Spirit. Lord, you would save them. You would empower them, Lord. You would bring transformation, Lord God, to each life, Lord God. So Lord God, as so many have stood, and maybe even a couple more that are yet want to stand, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to come upon each of us, Lord God. The way that Jesus said, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Lord, may rivers of your life, Lord, flow out of us today. Lord, rivers of life, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord God, your life, Lord God, to flow, Lord God, out of us. And Lord, right now, may your river flow onto us, Lord God. Lord, may your salvation and your healing, cleansing, Lord, touch each person. Lord, may your Holy Ghost, Lord God, fill us, Lord God, and allow us to have the courage and the boldness, Lord, for your life to flow out, and that we would be the vessels of change to bring hope and to bring your life and a godly perspective that can bring change in the areas around each one of our lives. So Lord, may your river, Lord, truly come in. Flood them, Lord God. Flood them, Lord, we pray. Flood them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.